we get on board the telephone line and welcome in from Fort Myers, Florida, our friend Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Hi there, Pete.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you this afternoon?
I'm a little tired. I just drove back from Miami, but I'm hanging in there.
Boy, oh boy, but you got to see something special. You wrote about it in the Globe. For anybody who wasn't sure about the World Baseball Classic, what a tremendous finish, but really just what a great tournament and terrific event for the game.
Yeah, I was really fortunate to be there for the last 3 days and saw the semifinals and the final, and it was really good baseball. That was the first thing, but to see, you know, the ballpark full and just the people that were there, you know, really on every pitch and you know, supporting their nation's teams, it was a lot different than the normal kind of baseball I cover, but a lot of fun.
Boy, and that game last night, especially that ninth inning, as you said, this is just one of the great moments in baseball history, regardless of international borders. It was something truly special.
Yeah, it was, and I don't know that if Major League Baseball had sat down and said, okay, what can we do to, you know, let's write a script and have everybody follow the script. It couldn't have come out any better than a one-run game in the bottom of the ninth or in the top of the ninth and Mike Trout facing Shohei Ohtani. I mean, they couldn't have ever possibly hoped that would have happened, and that's what happened. And then it was a great at-bat. You know, they go to a full count, and Trout's thinking Ohtani's going to come with another 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and he throws him a slider to strike him out, and both guys afterward were very gracious, talking about each other, and you know, Trout said, "Well, he got round one," and then Trout said, "He'll be back for the next WBC, and he hopes to face him again."
Well, and as you said, people have the chance to see Shohei Ohtani at Fenway. Take that opportunity, because we're seeing the likes that it's been 100 years since we've seen anybody do the kind of things he's doing.
Yeah, and when you see him in person, there's, you know, you can look at the stats and look at the box scores and say, okay, he's a very good pitcher, he's a very good hitter. But that probably tells you 33% about him, because when you see him in person, he's so big and he's so fast when he runs the bases, and he seems to go about it in this very genial fashion. He's always talking to players on the other team, and he's clearly the leader of his team with Japan, and the things you could see him talking to the younger players in a dugout and just kind of generally being like the team leader. And that's the stuff that is how, like, what a great athlete he is. I mean, he was going back and forth to the bullpen, and then he comes in to take his turn at bat, and he beats out an infield single. And they measured, you know, they can measure everything now. His speed was what they considered to be elite speed. And that's by a guy who had been all night, you know, pitching in the bullpen, warming up. And it just goes to show you what an incredible athlete he is.
It was something else. It was a great finish last night. Now, another nice bonus from the WBC was the really impressive play of a new member of the Red Sox, Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah, he was terrific. And if not for Ohtani, he probably would have been the MVP of the whole thing. Had the most RBIs, had a bunch of extra base hits, hit over 400. And, yeah, it's only 7 games, and it's hard to draw a lot out of 7 games. And a lot of those at-bats were against pitchers who aren't in the majors and probably never will be. But on a big stage, you know, with full ballparks and facing major league pitchers the last couple days, he showed how good he was. And the thing that I thought was incredible, throughout the whole tournament, he only struck out once. And it kind of shows you why the Red Sox liked him so much, his ability to get the bat on the ball, his ability to drive the ball with power. He's not a real big guy, but the way he hits, he's a very talented hitter, and you can see that this is a guy who spent a lot of time honing that part of the game, and I think it's probably going to be interesting to see how he does in cold weather up in Boston, because they're used to playing and indoors in Japan. It might take him a little while to get going, but I suspect once he gets going, he's going to be a pretty valuable player for them.
Pete Abraham with us here on Downtown. We've got about a week to go in spring training. Are there any remaining questions for the Red Sox in camp?
Yeah, there's probably a few that they know that Reese McGuire is going to be their primary catcher. They're trying to figure out who the backup catcher is going to be. It was going to be Connor Wong at the start of camp. Then he strained the hamstring. They thought it was going to be Jorge Alfaro, who's a non-roster player, a guy they think can help them. And then Wong has made a comeback in the last couple days and seems to be healthy. I think if he shows he can play a couple games before camp breaks on Tuesday, he'll probably be the guy. And then they'll have to, like almost every year, figure out the last couple spots in the bullpen. There'll be some competition for that. And it's funny, we in the media always pay a lot of attention to the opening day roster, and we, you know, analyze it and everything else. it'll probably change within a couple of days with the bullpen because that's how it works all year. So who's on the opening day roster in terms of the bullpen isn't anything to get too fired up about because invariably those guys will go back and forth to Worcester all year long anyway.
What about Yu Chang? Is he a guy who still has a shot to make that opening day roster?
Well, he's going to get to Fort Myers first.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, he was playing for Taiwan in the WBC. He was a member of the all-tournament team. He was really good for them. And then he's had some visa issues. I think he's supposed to be here on Friday. Now, they expected all along that he would be their infield backup because he can play shortstop and second base. But, he needs to get here first. And he hasn't played since March 11th. So that's becoming a little bit of an issue. So if assuming he can get through two or three games and be healthy and everything, it should be fine. If not, they'll have another decision to make.
And how long before we're likely to see any game time from Mondesi?
Well, no, I don't think anytime soon. It hasn't happened in spring training. It doesn't look like it's close to happening at this point. He's rehabbing a knee surgery, and they want to make sure, given his long history of injury issues, that he's fully okay before they put him back on the field. And in giving that, he hasn't had any at-bats. He's not going to need as many as he might have had in a normal spring training, but he's going to need some. So when he does get cleared, I would imagine there's going to be, at least a week or 10 days playing in the minors somewhere to get himself ready to play in the big leagues.
What happens to Bobby Dalbec? He's had his usual good spring, but Tristan Casas has hit pretty well. Also, does Dalbec, who I think has at least an option left, does he go to AAA for a while?
Yeah, well, he would be the guy I think that they would keep if they felt like Yu Chang wasn't ready. And he's played some shortstop in camp. He's played some, I think, second base in practice games, but not in a spring training game. But so they feel like they've made him a more versatile player, which helps him in terms of being on a big league roster. But at the same time, I think they'd prefer he to get regular at-bats in Worcester as opposed to sitting around, waiting for spots in the big leagues. That's something Chang has done over the course of his career, and that's not something Dalbec has done. So, it's funny watching him. He's so much more comfortable on the left side of the infield, whether it's at third base or even at shortstop, and his arm really plays at those positions. He had a bad year last year, but he was real good in 20 and 21. Mm. I kind of wonder if it might not be with the Red Sox, but there's probably a spot for him in a big league lineup somewhere. It's just going to be a matter of if the Red Sox decide to keep him as depth or if they see if they can make a move.
On the pitching side of things, Garrett Whitlock had a chance to throw, looked pretty good. Is he still likely to miss maybe the first week or so of the regular season?
I think so. The way they've got the pitching lined up, that would be the case. He would probably miss maybe one turn of the rotation, and Brian Bayo maybe two before he would come back, and they can fill those spots with Cutter Crawford, and Josh Winkowski or Tanner Houck, and then figure out which of those guys end up back in the bullpen. They have a lot better starting rotation depth than they had last year, which is important. That should make them better over the course of the season. And Bayo has looked very sharp. Mm. He's come back from his injury, as has Whitlock. So if Sale stays healthy and those two guys, kind of start to realize their potential, that they've got the makings of, and maybe not, one of the better rotations, but certainly a lot better than what they had last year.
Now, how do those dominoes impact the bullpen in the early season with guys like Houck and Crawford being part of the rotation, and now the injury to Rodriguez? How does that change things from the sixth inning on?
Yeah, it opens up opportunities for other players, and I think you're going to see Richard Bleier take on a pretty big role. In time, I believe Houck will probably end up back in the bullpen, and he'll be an important guy as well. You'll see a lot of Chris Martin setting up for Kenley Jansen. And then it's guys like, it could be Zach Kelly and John Schreiber. Schreiber's had a rough camp, but I think they're going to look back more on how good he was last year than worry about spring training. So those guys will probably get more higher leverage opportunities than they might have expected. With the bullpen, one thing, it always seems to be what you see in April is not going to be what you see in August. Mm. But having Kenley Jansen and everything kind of falling in line behind him is going to make things a lot easier for Alex Cora.
Who's impressed you this spring? Somebody you think, Pete, might surprise people and be a bit of an overachiever this year?
Ramel Tapia, who was the guy they picked up from Toronto. Well, he was a free agent. Toronto non-tendered him. And they signed him to a minor league contract. It seems almost, for sure that he's going to be on the major league roster. he looks like a guy that could really help them, whether it's all three outfield spots. He's got good speed. He's a good athlete. They've talked a lot about having a more athletic roster, and he certainly fits in there. And I think that fourth outfielder spot for the Red Sox is going to be important because Kike Hernandez has never played a full season as an outfielder. He's a shortstop, but he was the guy they would have counted on to play some outfield. Duvall has never really been a full-time center fielder. Yoshida is coming in to the big leagues for the first time. And Verdugo in right field is going to need some time off. So you could see Tapia getting a fair amount of time. And they feel like his speed and the way he's hitting spring training, he could be a pretty important guy for them.
Now, do they have room on the roster to keep both Tapia and Ref Snyder?
I think so. Yeah, because they could get away with one backup infielder. And with the roster rules, you can only keep 13 pitchers. So you do have an extra bench role. Maybe then a lot of teams would probably prefer to keep 14 pitchers if they could. So I think they could keep both of those guys. And with the idea that, whether it's pinch hitting or making sure, Duvall and Yoshida stay healthy, that they'll have ample opportunity for both of them.
All right. Always have to ask you about music. I know you had a chance to see Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in Tampa last month. How were the guys?
Yeah, I was pretty bummed I couldn't go to Boston the other day because a bunch of my friends and family were there, but duty called. It was great. It was fantastic. And it's amazing that with a couple of exceptions, almost everybody on the stage was 65 or 70 years old. And they still played for 2 hours and 45 minutes. And I think it was 28 songs and they sounded great. It's got a little hectic there for a couple of days. They had to cancel some shows because of COVID, but right. They're back on the road now. And from what I understand, the Boston show the other day was really good.
Yeah, that's what I had some friends saying. It sounds great. Well, glad you got a chance to see him. Get yourself some rest, Pete. We got a long season coming. Always appreciate you making some time for us. Thanks, Pete.
All right, Rich. Take care.
Pete Abraham with the Boston Globe with us on Downtown.